You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache? And I'll go fooling around and chasing
to my sexy podcast. Here we go. I've got a guest here in the house. He's quiet like a mouse. JK, he's like a deep voice mouse, like a rat. He is like a woman on testosterone. He's got the deepest, raspiest voice in the world. Let's focus more on his voice.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody?
You can't talk till I introduce you. They've got to know what you've done. Guys, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in again. I mean, I cannot thank you enough. You look great. You smell weird. I love you. My guest today we have vacationed more together than I have with my wife in the past 6 months. We saw each other in Narlands, where we taped Adam Devine's house party. We saw each other twice in L.A. in the winter, which I think that spending that time with you in L.A. in the winter, like all the love that I had for the sunshine, mm-hmm. I transferred right into you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
You just put it right in me.
He is, put a lot of things in him. He is killing it on Last Comic Standing. You can see him tomorrow night, Thursday night on NBC. Put your whole labia in your mouth for Monroe Martin.
Did you say put your labia in your
mouth?
We've
got a specific demographic here. We don't just clap.
Okay.
We do a lot of party tricks when we
that
get excited.
That is a hell of a party trick. Okay. So, hey everybody.
I'm going to take you back right now. What we do here is confront people with videos we've taken of them in the past. And this is a riveting video of us in the hotel room before we were auditioning for Last Comic.
I'm going to keep it.
Go. This is the two of us. So, pretty controversial. It was a beat.
That was supposed to be a beat.
We both wore leather-inspired outfits for our audition.
Mm-hmm. And we killed it.
And we crushed it.
Freaking crushed it like Eddie Murphy's, like two funny Eddie Murphys.
Like Eddie fucking Murphy with Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle don't wear leather.
But one thing that is a remarkable thing about you is you've got, like, you don't, first of all, you're on your phone right now.
Oh, okay.
So
that is a very remarkable thing.
One thing is that you're a fucking dick.
What? Then I don't pay attention. I'm too famous for this podcast now.
No, well, okay, so then this is an interesting thing, because a year ago, you ain't shit. No, but like, isn't it interesting? I mean, like, I've even found just from having like a little bit of American credits now, people treat you a little different. It's like nicer.
They treat you a lot differently. People open the door for me now.
Yeah.
They look me in the eyes when we're talking. I was like, oh shit, this is what respect feels like.
Do you feel, and how do you feel about that? Because there must be some people blatantly that didn't give a fuck about talking to you before that are now like, we should get all the coffees.
Let's just hang out and drink coffee. I don't drink coffee. Let's just hang out.
Just write me some jokes.
Can we just be friends? I've always been nice to people, so most people reciprocated that.
From the beginning.
I didn't talk to you
until I saw you on a plane. I was like, this guy's tall and he goes in the sky.
Hey, but who fault is that? That's your fault.
It sounded like you said fart to my
fart
Canadian.
That is your fart.
And it was my fart.
It was your fart. It was always your fart.
It's always been my fart.
It was your fart all along. Didn't think we knew. But
first of all,
You spoke to me before. I've seen you before.
I know. I'm not one of those people. I'm just, you know, what we do on this podcast, we're like, other people are so lame.
People stink, but it don't matter. We practice humility, so
yeah.
I'm always nice to people.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's easy to take. It's rat, like, it's nice to take the niceness rather than remember. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people did a lot of bad things to you, and a lot of people talk shit about you.
I know, and you were one of those people. Now, look who's sitting across
from you. I was the only person. I started it. Fuck you, man. Monroe is a wonderful man. Monroe, you got like kind of like a rapper's background.
Yeah, you goddamn right. I shot four niggas. you got a dude.
You've got the strife, like the started from the bottom, now we're here, sort of thing.
Oh, I started below the bottom. I started.
Where did you start?
Started in the sub-basement.
Take our sexy podcasties.
I started in the basement. I started in the core of the earth.
No, listen. Monroe was in foster care, okay? Guys?
Jesus Christ. Can I ease him into it?
No.
He's going straight for the gusto.
First of all, no one straight is listening to this podcast.
You're right. You just go.
No, but I do like to go straight for the gusto.
Just straight for the booty hole. Yes, I grew up in foster care. I went into foster care around the age of 7.
Imagine I was on my phone now.
Yeah, you just like, oh, tell me more about your family not loving you.
But an interesting thing when we were talking about it was that, like, you still, like, your mom, from the age of 7 on, you were, like, bouncing from foster care situation.
Yes.
But your mom has still been, like, your mom's your mom.
Yeah, she was. She didn't have guardianship, but she still was able to contact me. But she still didn't have her shit together. I was born in the era where parents still wanted to party when they had kids, and that was my mom. My mom still wanted to live her life, quote unquote, and she had my grandmom. So she was like, she can watch you and blah 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 and shit like that. But my mom partied too hard. So then my dad,
yeah,
and my grandma was like, fuck this. I've already taken care of two babies.
Yeah.
They're grown now.
Yeah.
So with that situation and my mom being on drugs and my dad going to jail, my grandma was like, this is the best situation for it. In her mind, she felt this was the best situation.
I mean, going back, you'd obviously be like, grandma, just let me chill here.
No, I try to understand and I get it. Like my grandmother, like she said, she raised two kids on her own.
Yeah, I totally sympathize and understand.
So it was like, it's not a grandmother's job to continue raising a baby after she's finished.
No, that's like the worst loophole.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, I gotta raise your kids too.
Yeah, perfect. And it seems like something that, like, you know, like it's, you're pressured into making the decision of yes, but I don't even know. Like, I think I would probably be like, let's find some young people to raise this kid.
Yeah. And I didn't find this out.
That's what I'm going to do with my kid when I adopt a kid. I'll have it for a couple of years and be like, let's find some young people.
We're just going to get some young people very excited about life.
Yeah.
But I didn't find that out until I, like, talked to my grandma and I asked her. I was like, you could have kept me or whatever. And she was like, yeah, I could have, but she was like, I did my research for foster care, and what she found out, like, she thought it was just, like, going to be temporary until my mom got her stuff together. But my mom really never got her stuff together. The system, like, any system's all system is corrupt.
But you would still visit with your mom.
I would still visit with my mom and my grandma.
And the system's corrupt because people get money for taking kids in, so a lot of people treat it like a business.
It is a business. It's a business on both ends. It's a business for the DHS and also the parents who take kids in. Because DHS, they can get, like, more government funding, more raises.
Okay, DHS is
Department of Human Services in New York. I think it's called DIFAS.
Do you think if one thing could change about the foster care system, is there something obvious that you're like, fuck, no, this, you know, DHS should be audited or something like that?
I feel like there should only be people who, serious inquiries only. If the money wasn't as good,
yeah,
like it's usually like the older the kid, it's usually the younger the kid, the more money you get, because the older the kid, that
the
kid can get up and get a job and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so more people taking younger kids than they do older kids.
Okay,
but you should be forced to take in an older kid, because some some older kids just need a place to stay while they're trying to figure out their next couple of years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically it shouldn't be that much money. It should be more stipends towards
so that you're drawing people that are driven more by passion.
Yeah,
than
it should
by
be
money.
Like, okay, you got one extra person in your house, so we'll pay your heat and electric and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we're not going to give you a check.
Okay,
you know, stuff like that. Stop putting cash in hand.
Stop putting cash in hand.
Stop putting motherfucking cash in hand. Cause that's what happens. If somebody goes here's $750 for taking care of this kid, knowing that a half of that is supposed to go towards the kid's clothes, you're not going to. Kids' clothes is cheap, so you're going to buy the cheapest clothes you can and then spend the rest on you. Like, well, he ate this amount and blah, blah, blah.
He ate 95 jars of peanut butter.
95 jars of peanut butter, nigga buying lobster.
Audit me. I got the receipt. Yeah, that was to shock you into caring.
Huh? What? Electroshock therapy.
I've been hitting music, but I've been hitting like my favorite songs. Mm-hmm. And then I panicked last week, so I was like, oh fuck, what if like Drake is like, what? Episode 11 of My Sexy Podcast has worst behavior in it and comes after me. So now I Googled copyright free rap songs that are also very loud. You can tell that it's free.
Yeah, you can hear it. You can, oh, okay, that's
even awesome. The guy's voice is complaining. It's not like traditional rap stuff. I got this. He's like, they got a vision of me and I can't fulfill it.
He's like, I don't know what to do. I'm an independent artist.
I guess that was a little cocky. I don't know what he said, but he was like, oh, now I'm sipping.
Yeah, everybody's sipping. Everybody wants to just get drunk. I'm sipping on this. No, read a book.
You are not drinking right now.
Yeah, I'm not drinking until later on.
You got a big show coming up.
Got big shows coming up.
And
I want to
get it under control.
I'm trying to. And
inside Monroe's throat are 19 wild, wild horses.
Oh, I have the worst.
And
throat.
He's got to go, and then that's like whipping him, and then now they go into the same line. There we go.
No, I have vocal problems, so usually drinking. Makes it worse. So if I save my voice.
You do have vocal problems?
Yes.
So every time I'm saying raspy, raspy, you're like, I'm struggling with every.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I lose my voice every other day.
Oh my God.
My voice was totally gone by the end of the night yesterday.
Oh my God. Man. How do you. So you shouldn't drink?
I shouldn't drink because alcohol basically destroys your vocal cords too.
It does?
Yeah, because you think about it, when you're drinking alcohol, it's all usually in a party setting. You're yelling, you're speaking loud, and then you're just pouring alcohol on top of that, and then it's not healing.
I mean, but then how do you prove Kesha's beautiful voice?
Vocal coach and lots of money.
And so much auto-tune.
Uh-huh.
But you're like a good boy. You're like a good, you can tell. No, I'm saying, there's one old lady in the audience that I invite to every episode.
Just
laugh.
One old hag.
Marley. Laugh. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
She's adorable. She's naked.
Mm-hmm.
And she old has titties. Braces. She's got old titties with
old
nipple tassels.
Titties. Yes.
And the braces are attached to the nipple tassels to hold them up.
Yes.
Just so you know, I want to paint the right picture so that you know what's happening in the studio. But back to the stallion voice.
Back to the stallion voice. This is how I'm supposed to talk to people. Say.
Your voice is your blessing and your curse. It's
I know.
Too good.
This so voice right here.
The Lord takes it away from you sometimes.
This is how I'm supposed to speak, but I don't because I feel like there's nothing funny about
what this. Do you mean? This is how you're supposed to speak? That's
because
how
I'm speaking from the diaphragm.
From the diaphragm.
Right now.
Ooh, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Well. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
I'd love to just pick your brain about what the whole experience was for you.
Oh,
and that would be the last comic standing.
The last comic.
Yeah, just
standing.
A little bit. Talk about being on a reality show. I hosted a reality show for kids, and
it made you rich.
It made me some money, but it made me also see how, like, you know, by the end I was also producing, and I would. When I talked to these kids about their experience with the challenges they were doing, I'm looking for certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to create a pack. Like if two kids looked like they were close in the competition, I'm looking to create animosity between them.
Yeah.
So how was your experience?
My experience with Last Comic, it was at first it was annoying.
There's a lawyer with a gun to his head right
I
now.
I know. at first it was annoying because... you know, you're just sequestered the whole time between a hotel and then the location, and you're just back and forth.
Because they want to capture whatever it is you're going to say.
Yes, they don't want to miss a moment. But, like, in retrospect, now I'm like, okay, it happened for a reason. That was my first time doing stand-up on TV. So that was like a crash course for me.
Yeah,
like,
and it's
hey,
like,
this
that's
is
a
the
lot
business.
Of people watching.
Yes, it was like, this is the business. And there's cameras in your face, and this is 18-hour days, and I got really fat during that time.
No, shut up.
I did. When you left,
I saw you working out.
But then when you left, and they just had us in a hotel, and they told us that we weren't allowed to leave.
You're like, I guess I'll eat my way through this.
I'll just eat, and then I'll go work out. But
You can't penetrate the amount that you eat if you want to eat everything and then work out.
I know.
I've realized that too.
Yeah. So
I got fat for you. Sympathy fat. I could totally leave my house, but I was like, if Monroe's in a hotel room, I'm eating cheesecake about it.
You goddamn right. I was just getting fat, and then I was getting depressed. Not depressed, but I was just getting upset. Yeah, because I couldn't leave. I had like friends in LA that wanted to hang out.
And you couldn't go see them?
We couldn't because the times were weird.
Did you watch a lot of shows?
I watched a lot of Comedy Central at night.
Okay.
Which means I watched a lot of South Park and movies that they don't play anymore.
Pornies?
Little Pornies.
Oh, on Comedy Central. Okay,
on Comedy Central.
Discontinued. Oh, you must have seen my talk show from the 80s. Sassy Sab sticks it to him. It's when I thought I was straight. And it was me hitting on male comics in a talk show format.
There you go. So, hey, you're like vaginas. And so it was all right. But then what ends up happening is you start creating bonds or friendships with the people on the show.
Yeah.
And I just found myself hanging out more with the people on the show, like Mackie.
Yeah.
He's super cool. Carlos and Rodman and Lachlan.
It'd be great if you'd
Nikki.
Stop taking a piss while you tell the story.
Hey, man, you got to go when you got to go. When nature calls, you got to answer.
Into my drinking water.
Huh? Just peeing. Just all into it. Don't worry, it's a Brita.
So you would hang out, it's a Brita penis?
I got Brita dick, okay?
It filters the urine into root beer.
Yes. Willy Wonka dick. Just sitting there.
Huh? That'd be a pretty good superpower, but
I know I can pee anything,
but no one wants to taste it. You're like, I swear it tastes like grapes.
Come
like,
on, it's chocolate, baby. It's chocolate syrup.
But so you got close to the other comics on the show, some of them.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. We ended up just talking about, like, because I'm still relatively new. I'm a baby in comedy. I've only been doing it 8 years. And I got to talk to people who've been doing it from 7 to 17 years. So I got to talk to them, pick their brain about the business, and I realized a lot of the problems with the business is me.
Shut up.
No, a lot of problems is, like, what I've come to understand, a lot of older comics, it's not they don't like younger comics, is that, you know, I'm not like that, but they think a lot of younger comics are, like, arrogant, and they're not putting
in
the
work. Well, it must
be
frustrating. Actually, not even it must be. I've been doing it since I was 16, I'm 29 now. So like 12, 13 years. But this is over the course of like, I was doing comedy very differently when I was 16, going to high school and then in college. I was doing it like once a week, kind of like recreationally and as a career. But it wasn't until I moved to New York that I really dug into it like 5 years ago. But even just like being involved and seeing things in a bigger picture, the way some comics that are like 2-3 years into it, the way they lust after and get frustrated with opportunities that they're not getting, it's like, honey, fucking buckle up.
Yeah, it's like enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride and don't like pine after one specific thing, whether it's like new faces or getting on. It's just like, no, get funnier.
That's it.
Just get funnier.
Yeah.
And it must be fucking frustrating for older comics who like with people like, you know, taking off on YouTube or Twitter, that must be a tough thing. That's probably what they talked about.
And that's it. Yeah, exactly what we talked about. It's the frustrations of that because, you know, time can escape you. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of older comics, they don't know how to reach out and expand their audience on YouTube and stuff like that. So that, you know what I mean? Like there's people who mastered that, who mastered the YouTube
thing. And even just like generationally, like where you were with technology when you were coming up in comedy, you know, like Abby and Alana starting Broad City, if they came together like 5 years before, it would have been impossible to do the stuff they were doing. But it was born at the same time as like these exciting directors and whatever.
Yep.
And it's amazing. And that's great. Like, and there's also, I think you get bitter in this industry. You get used to hearing no, and to a certain point, it's a survival skill to be able to hear no and persevere. But it's the lines kind of get blurred, I think, between persevering and becoming cynical.
Yeah, people. I've been reading a self-help book called The Four Agreements.
I love self-help books. Is it Louis?
No, self-help.
Four this Agreements.
One is, the Four Agreements is Miguel.
Miguel. I've read all of. He's got a book on relationships too.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah, totally.
And one thing he said in a book is like, don't take anything personal.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hard to do, but in comedy, you got to understand with the industry, nothing is personal. It's money.
No. And also, something that like someone who's newer at the game is going to naturally have is a little bit of like dumb confidence. Like, it's naivete, but it's like works to your benefit because you feel it's the same thing as kids who like will like try tricks on their skateboard that, you know, are insane and you're likely to get hurt, but it's being naive about the consequences pushes you to take risks that actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Just got to take a little pee.
Just pee right there. She actually stands up to pee.
And my vagina
just
makes a little.
Just like a
thirst
little.
Thirst has been opposite quenched.
But yeah, that's it. So I got to talk about that.
It's good. Yeah, I think that that's probably part of what makes you or what makes me interested in you and you a cool person is that you clearly are someone who's interested in talking to different people and hearing different perspectives.
Hell yeah, that's my life. My life.
You interrupted me. I was talking.
Oh, were you really talking?
No, I mean, like, I love talking to old people. Old people are the best, right?
Uh-huh.
Fuck you.
No, you old. I love her. tell me how the 60s were.
In the 60s, you could fuck anyone and automatically get AIDS.
Oh.
It was a fun time.
Just letting the clam hang out.
Why did you become good and questioning and self-reflective? And because you should have been bad.
I had my bad years. When I was younger, I would just rebel and revolt, but I didn't even know what I was revolting for. Because I was in like group homes. I was in like places with kids that are like fucking 18, and I'm fucking 10 sitting there.
Yeah, well, I know why you'd be revolting, because it's like, revolting sounds like you were revolting. Like people would look at Monroe as
like,
a 10-year-old and be like, disgusting. No, like you'd rebel because, I mean, I would imagine, I think like a lot of, I mean, not I think. I love when you say like, I think like parenting's important. Like, it's just like a fact.
I think like, cats need coats because they get cold too.
Like cats get cold.
they get the chills.
No, but you know, you had like a tougher hand of cards in life, so it's easy. I mean, it's hard for, look at all these like white kids that live in Williamsburg that are going to therapists 2 times a week to figure out like why their paintings don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like life is hard and it's all relative. And when I went to Vietnam to do volunteer work, and yes, I've probably talked about it many times in this podcast and many times on Twitter today. It happened 5 years ago. I went there to do volunteer work.
Did you really?
And it was as much about connecting with humanity that it was about changing my Facebook profile picture. I did, yeah. But one thing that I took away was like, oh, like it doesn't matter what you have. There's happy people. There's people that are, I mean, and clearly, yes, life, you know, living in a comfortable society and free world helps you with happiness. But there was like one girl waiting in line for like 5 hours for these care packages that we were giving out. And this chick had like a twisted, her leg was like a spring, like twisted around 1.5 times. The top of her foot was on the bottom.
Mm.
And she was waiting in line to get a package for her aunt and uncle who took care of her, who were blind. And she was like stoked. Like we gave her the equivalent of $5 and she was like, what the fuck? She was like, you know, like she won a car on Oprah.
Damn.
So, I mean, like, and just like little instances like that. And some people were like fucking miserable and they weren't happy. They weren't, you know, but there's a certain, I mean, how much percentage do you think it is nature, like what you're born with versus what your circumstances are?
I think it's 50-50. Yeah. Always, yeah. Nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
You nurture the nature. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And yeah. So that's what happens. You're born a certain way, and certain environments and people around you bring that out. They either bring that out or it lies
and
dormant.
And so then you had that 50% odds were with you that you were going to look for the happiness, for the positivity.
Yes. But also I kind of discovered like at 16 that I couldn't be like a victim. You know what I mean? Because it's easy for people to play the victim when they're put in situations like that, when they're like, oh, nobody will love me. I keep bouncing around. It's easier to play the victim, but it's more work and more rewarding when you become a product of that environment. Any bad situation, you know what I mean?
When you don't become a product.
No, when you do become a product.
What
when
do
you're
mean?
Just like, so a victim is somebody who's just like they want you to feel sorry for them and everything. But the product of that environment is somebody who's just going to look at that and move forward in life and do something positive.
Yeah.
Where other people who've been through something similar can look and go, all right, he made it. And that's how I want it. That's what I wanted. I just didn't want to be.
You're doing it.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that fucking
It's
person.
So funny too, like as you get older, how you have these conversations and really, it really is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But the older you get, the more like gurglies there are in your mind to like pull you in whatever direction. So that's why I really like reading books like that Four Agreements book. I did read it.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost done that. And then there's another one called The Book.
The Book. I think I have that too. I'm going to read it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting too to me. And I guess I've been there where things are like in a positive place in your career. But like because of... Yeah, you were depressed. Like in this the most amazing time in your career, you were in a hotel room depressed.
Yeah. And that's because I just couldn't share it with the people that I came up with.
So that's really important to you.
Yeah. My friends, man. Like my friends, like who I moved, when I moved to New York, like we were sharing wings. We were, you know, like 12 wings to 7 people. We were sharing wings.
Whoa,
we
my
were
God,
eating
I wish
dollar
I could have
slices.
You guys wings and invested. Buy low, sell high.
What? We were freaking doubling up on the turnstile just for all of us to get home. Like, if one of us had a pass, we'll all try to squeeze doing that one pass on
Who
that one
people?
Swipe. As my friend Derek, Chris Cotton, Dave Temple, Reggie, Ian, Chloe. A bunch of friends, man.
I get it.
Man,
I get it. I'm low on the totem pole. Here
hey,
I am.
Man, you were always rich. You just started.
Fuck you.
You came.
Fuck
when I met you. You had a medallion on that was like, fuck poor people.
It wasn't a medallion. It was a Tiffany's ring that I wore as a necklace.
It was a little thing. You didn't even want to shake my hand because you know poor people have germs.
I didn't want to shake your hand because you're black.
Because the blackness can rub off.
I can't afford to get darker. I'm already risking it all with this Pakistan juice.
Oh, wow.
But
that was it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this brings me my sponsor for today's episode. Skipped a lot of words in that sentence. Yeah. Today's sponsor is Pakistan juice. Pakistan juice. Drink it once, love it twice.
What the hell does that even mean?
PakistanJuice.com/sexypod for 50% off and a free swig of Pakistan juice.
Pakistan juice coming to... I don't know where they sell
theater near you. It's going to be sold exclusively at AMC theaters in America. But for now, you can order it online. The problem is that if it drops below a certain temperature, it spoils completely. And that temperature is very difficult to ship in. But please, PakistanJuice.com/sexypod. Back to the show. Sorry, that stuff is so annoying, but business is business. So then things are gonna be so good for you.
Yeah, things are gonna be great. It's gonna be good.
What's a thing that you have a girlfriend for? Is this the first time you had a girlfriend in a long time?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years since I had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2014. Me and my girlfriend broke up in like 2012.
She's not your girlfriend anymore, Monroe.
My ex girlfriend,
right.
Me and Neb.
Now she's my girlfriend.
Now she's your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's been two years since I've been in a relationship.
And you're like all excited about it?
Yeah, you know, I am. But then I'm afraid to be excited about it.
That's a normal thing.
Really? You just were like, oh, I'm so excited we're together. You better not. The other day.
What do you fear?
I don't know. As you feel, we all fear the same thing. Well, I can't say we all fear the same thing.
I mean, I fear nothing.
Putting in
so.
Something,
yeah,
and then not reciprocating that. There's always that not one person it, yeah. who's going to love that in the relationship. There's always one person that's going to love you a little bit more. Either you're that person or they're that person.
I think it switches ideally, or like it not. Not even ideally, but like I notice in my relationship sometimes if I'm like loving on her a lot, she's like, ah, and I'm gonna take it like a queen and sort of roll my eyes and here you go loving me. Mm-hmm. And then if I like am busy with something and she like wants that attention, then all of a sudden I'm like the boss.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. I don't want to be, and it's inevitable, but I don't want to be the one that loves more, because then whoever loves more loses.
No, not at all. I'd say, I mean, in our relationship, I'm loving more right now.
Because you're brave. You're braver than I am.
So you just acknowledge that I love you more.
You're goddamn right.
You fucking piece of shit.
The other day, I accused her of Andy Dufresne-ing me.
What's Andy Dufresne?
Andy Dufresne is a character off of Shawshank. And I said that it's Tim Robbins. And
just say it to the beat that we created.
Okay. So I said, you're planning your escape from Shawshank this whole time, this relationship with Shawshank. I was like, every time I turn around, you're putting the poster back over the hole that you created to leave
the
relationship.
What the fuck is going on right now? I mean, I guess I found the areas where you're a little messed up.
Don't call me fine. Don't call me baby. I'm not mine. I'm yours.
That was not a good lyric. There was like so much build up with that beat. And then.
Don't.
Just so you know, that was Monroe Martin and Sabrina Jalisse in
Back
Los
to
Angeles.
The Quiet Storm, where we only talk about quiet storms. Tiffany was a very quiet storm. She came through like
storm,
a ninja.
Just like a little tiny Tiffany's box.
Just like a little tiny Tiffany ninja box.
It was a storm to not remember.
Yes. There were winds of
-2 on the Richter scale.
Yes. No one even noticed.
Barely anyone knew about Tiffany. Now, wait a second. Now, when you talk about Annie Dufresne and the hole, and keep in mind, I watch movies and forget them. And mm-hmm. I have watched Shawshank, but I forget. But
that he was escaping.
You were escaping?
She was.
Are you escaping? I'm loving on you and escaping our relationship?
Every time I love on you, you're like, I'm leaving. I don't know. Is this a personal issue I have?
That every time you love on me, you think that I'm leaving through the wall?
Not you, Jesus Christ. Why are you personalizing this?
Because I want to talk about us.
Okay. I accused her of Annie Dufresne and me, and she looked at me like I'm stupid. But I didn't
accuse
her.
Oh, you accused your girlfriend.
Yes, not you.
Fuck you. You know what? We've been on a lot of dinner dates.
We have.
One time we walked, last time we went to dinner, we walked into a place that was so much a dating place. That
it was awesome.
They put us in the back. And then it was like cloth everything. And just like grow, like just rich, weird people. And like everything was like $50.
You're talking, which one you're talking about?
When in New Orleans, when we went to that place.
We went to two places, then we walked out.
We walked out of two places.
Yeah, we were like, we sat down like,
we were like, our friendship's not worth this.
No, hell no. But the last place we did choose was fun.
That was fun. What?
The place we chose.
Monroe
at the
just
last
barfed into his hand. And now he's sipping on it. You are revolting.
The place where I got the pulled pork patty like thing with the grits and the collard greens.
Oh, was that the one that was a diner where they yell?
No, we didn't go to that.
Oh, no,
diner.
No. That was still fancy. Okay, yeah, we went to a fancy place.
We went to the place where they put us outside.
Podcast
first.
Hitting ultimate on not relatable points. Podcast at all-time high of losing audience due to just talking about restaurants we walked out of in a non-specific, non-observational way.
Yes, we walk out of a bunch of restaurants.
We walk out of every restaurant.
So many restaurants that are not worth our time.
Like, we'll walk in and then just decide that someone looks weird and walk out.
Right, remember that guy with the mustache? I was like,
oh!
Oh, my
disgusting.
God. Why?
Why?
I don't want a poor guy
sitting
across from me
when I'm eating
my
meal.
Yes. Are you? Are you mocking?
Okay. Now let's get back to your troubled youth. I'm kidding.
I grew up hard, man. It was. Yeah. I was equivalent to Rudolph.
Rudolph the
Rudolph the Raspy reindeer. Smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Did you ever smoke? You never did drugs.
No, fuck no, man.
Yeah, so because you had the example where you were like, oh yeah, drugs equals not
that,
good.
But I've always looked at drugs as like an escape. I'm like, what the fuck do I need to escape for? I've always wanted to be very in tune with what was going on. And people do drugs to escape that reality. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to deal with this reality.
All right. We got four agreements, Monroe, here.
Yeah. The first agreement, kill any motherfucker that looks at you wrong. Second agreement, get money. Third agreement, fuck bitches. Fourth agreement, listen to Biggie all day.
P.S. Stay sober. You want to really be there when the blood splashes back on your face. You know why people drink and do drugs, though. Like, you know why you enjoy drinking and
But I stopped getting as drunk as I used. Like, I used to get drunk
for sport to be like, we're getting wasted.
Yeah, but then you get wasted and you're just like, wait, why? You wake up the next day, you can barely fucking start your day.
Yeah,
your stomach hurts and you gotta nurse yourself back to health. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
Fuck that shit, bitch.
Okay, well, I think we're gonna... You were talking to me about finances because you got dollars coming in now.
Yeah, I got dollars coming in and I want to fucking own some shit.
Let's get specific on the numbers.
No, I got like $2 million fucking coming in. I got vitamin water hitting the shelves pretty soon. My motherfucking
at the bodega
sneakers.
Near my house.
Huh? Yeah,
they're ordering that shit. Copyright free.
That was terrible.
Why is it so loud?
I don't know. Because bad music is loud.
Yeah, it's like when bad comics just yell their punchlines.
And the dick.
Her pussy dick.
Get it, pussy dick.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Zigzag. Shout out to copyright free Zigzag.
Free Zigzag. Free my nigga Zigzag.
Okay, now I can't say that word.
Free my ninja Zigzag.
Free my ninja Zigzag.
Zigzag.
Monroe, what do you want to know from my dad about finances?
What do I want to know from Mr. Jaliz? I was asking you. I'm asking your dad. I want to be able to make money off of my money. I've always been told that, you know, that you're supposed to make money. You don't make money, your money makes money.
Yeah, so here's the thing. If you make a lot of money this year,
uh-huh.
you can go ahead.
When I make a lot
when
of
you
money.
Make a lot of money this year, you can go ahead and get like a $5,000 a month loft
mm-hmm.
in the East Village, and it'll still be kind of small, and it'll be like, whoa. And when your girlfriend comes over, you're like, yeah, I'm a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can still stay like scaled back,
mm-hmm.
save, I mean, $5,000 a month, 12 months, that's about $60,000. Mm-hmm. Save that $60,000 and put a down payment on a condo.
Yeah.
And that's when your money's making money, because any piece of real estate that you invest in New York City is going to appreciate.
And that's what I want to do. My neighbor, we were talking the other day, she owns two homes. She bought the house next door to us in Bed-Stuy.
Oh my God.
Three-story brownstone.
How much did she buy it for?
It was $1 million.
Yeah, man.
We priced it because ours was, because it's my roommate's grandparents, and we priced ours, and it was $750,000.
It's worth more now. Yeah.
Because they didn't really change anything or renovate.
That's the other thing. If you can make enough money to buy a 2 or 3 family, then you're a boss. That's what I want to focus on is in Bed-Stuy or in Bushwick.
Yeah.
Getting one of those, because the rent roll that comes in, the amount of money that you have per year,
mm-hmm.
already exceeds the amount that it costs to pay taxes, to upkeep the house. And then you want to, let's call my dad.
Yeah.
Let's see if my dad picks
she
up.
She bought
here.
Her house at 28.
Yo, I bought a house when I was 22, bitch.
See, look at that. Bitch. I want to learn how to do that. 22?
Yeah, the first chunk of money you make, you put it in a piece of
I'm not making chunks of money yet.
Well, but when it gets chunky.
When it gets to be like, oh, wow, I'm a little fat right now. I don't think your dad, he knows that you're on with me.
I think that my dad knows that this is a foster. It's going to be so bottom bare. I'll be calling like second cousins. I didn't even know we were related.
And who the hell am I going to get advice from? Hey, twice no, my removed dad. Cousin.
Clip your toenails.
Uh-huh. Need to get your shit together, sir.
Oh, my God. This is the worst. Worst behavior.
Worst.
Motherfucking number one. You have a mailbox of
Sam Jalise.
At you the tone, leave please record message. Your message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up.
No, it's my brother. It's bottom of barrel.
For more options.
Yeah. Hey, Sam. This is Monroe. This is like my fourth time calling. I just want to let you know that, you know, it's over, man. It's I look for guardianship and just for guidance and a male role model, and you can't meet those standards at all. It's like because half of the point of a male role model is to be there when a person is in need, and you're never around, dude. Like, we barely speak to each other. Like, this is the first time I've ever spoken to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to go see him. I'm going to wait a while until he can contribute to the fund. He's not doing shit right now. So it's like, why would I go see a fresh baby? Like, he's still wet. He is still smells like pussy. So I'm not.
Oh! Drop the P word.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, let me hold on. That's my sister's vagina. Like, I want to smell it. I don't want to smell him at all. So. I'm going to wait. I don't even like kids. I don't like kids. And you know what? That's a normal response for a man. If you ever hear a guy say, I absolutely love children, you should do a background check immediately.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been My Sexy Podcast. Never have I ever been so, first of all, enthralled by just the amount of urine and conversation and real talks with my guest, and yet also disappointed by my family. I tried to call my mother. I tried to call my father. This is like they're breaking up with me.
This was the theme. I didn't have a family, and guess what? Your family just disowned you, so. Hey, man.
All right. Well, I guess we're both reading four agreements tonight.
Yep. Call this the land of misfits now. This is the name of this podcast.
Why don't you drop a beat and let's do what we do best?
What you want? You want a hip-hop beat or a little poppish beat?
What are you, a little jukebox?
That's what, hey, man, this is what they call me in group homes. Hey, jukebox, drop that beat.
And I'm hey, like, jukebox! Yo, this has been My Sexy Podcast. This time, we had a lot of fun. This time, we had a lot of disappointment. This time, we had a lot of conversation. This time, you learn about me. Take it, Monroe!
I don't really know what I'm about to say, yo, but I'm about to say goodbye, cause I'm about to go ride on the train and smell like pee in the rain. Yeah, that's all that's coming to my brain.
This episode has been brought to you by Monroe's Grape Flavored Pee. Monroe's
Grape Flavor is actually chocolate grapes.
Drop the beat! Boom, pff, boom, pff, bye! Boom, pff, boom, pff, it's over. Boom, stop listening. You're desperate now. It's over. We're not here for you anymore. We're not just going to talk anymore. We can't do this anymore. You're so needy anymore. See you next week anymore. Monroe's on the TV tomorrow on Thursday. Never see how much I'm in the law. It's a lemonade. I said, Nani, hello!
When it gets to be like, oh wow, I'm a little fat right now. Don't you know you are my